You're listening to the 72, and now we can get the first of our special guests on, Tom, Football League favourites, so we're calling this section of the show. Official title, just made it up on the spot. And what we're going to do each week is get a hero of some of the Football League fans out there, and we've just been talking all about Yapstam going in at Reading, and now we can get a man that's won promotion to the Premier League with Reading, also a Burnley legend as well. It's Mr. Glenn Little. How are you doing, Glenn?
Yeah, not too bad, mate.
Yapstam then going in at Reading. What have you made of the appointment?
Well, being a Manchester United fan, I loved him as a player, and hopefully you'll come in at Reading and do well. They need a bit of stability. The last couple of seasons, it hasn't gone well. They've been chopping managers now. They got Brian McDermott in just before Christmas. Didn't give him much of a chance. Hopefully Yapstam will come in, do well, and they'll give him more of a go than they did to Steve Clarke and Brian McDermott.
And do you think that's kind of a key part for Reading? You mentioned it there, but that's stability, because there has been quite a high manager turnover. Would you like to see, you know, Yapstam given a bit of time at this job?
Well, you need it now as a manager. When you're going into clubs, he won't know the division. Yes, he was a great player, but that was in the Premier League with Manchester United. I don't think he'll know too much about the Championship, won't really know too much about the Reading players and the squad, so he will need time, but unfortunately, the way the club's been going the last couple of seasons, it's all been a bit of a mess. And you thought with Brian McDermott going back, he was a Reading man. You thought he would go in and do well. And 6 months later, he's out the door. So are we getting into this business where you're going down the Leeds route, aren't you? Where just every season you're going for a couple of managers. How can you ever build anything? And what are Reading trying to do? I don't really know the direction the club's trying to go. That the owners come in, you're hoping they're owners that are going to spend a lot of money, sign really good players and back the manager, but like I said, the last two seasons haven't gone well, and it's all turned into a bit of a mess. Hopefully Yapstam will come in and it will go well.
And what do you make of kind of Yapstam being appointed? Obviously, like you said, he's kind of a name that people know from his time at Manchester United. Maybe he's not that familiar with the Championship, and you know, he's not had much managerial experience either. We've seen it with, you know, ex-players like Sami Hyypiä come to the Championship, but with Brighton it didn't really go well there. Do you think this is kind of a bit of a risk, and do you think it'll pay off for him?
Well, I think anyone going into Reading at the minute is a bit of a risk, because we've seen him take Nigel Adkins in. It didn't go well for him. Steve Clarke the same, didn't go well for him. Brian McDermott didn't go well for him. So I think whoever they got in, it's a gamble, because managers just aren't being backed and they're not being given any time. So it won't be easy. But like I said, you just hope he can come in and it goes well for him. I think it is totally different, the way Reading have gone with the foreign manager. Like from my time, they went for Alan Pardew, Steve Coppell. It's always been the English manager, like Nigel Adkins and Steve Clarke, Brian McDermott. This is the first appointment that they've gone down that foreign route. I think they got a director of football in, and he was from Holland. So maybe that's where this has led to Yapstam being appointed. But in the summer, when I saw Nicky Hammond leave, and he's someone who's been at the club a long time, he's been in the background there at Reading, been part of the success. And when he left, that's when maybe the warning bells were ringing for me. I'm thinking, well, if he's maybe had enough and he's seen the way the club's going, he better get out. Like, it is worrying times, but like I said, I hope for Reading's sake, they can have a good season and they can get back up there pushing for the playoffs like they did when I was there.
It's completely the opposite, isn't it, Glenn? To your other former club, Burnley, who have backed Sean Dyche over the last few years, giving him the time to develop a team. And it's a bit of a passing over ceremony for us with the Premier League fixtures coming out and Burnley now up in the Premier League. What Burnley have allowed Sean Dyche to do is exactly what Reading need to do with whoever their incumbent is, Yapstam, this time.
Yeah, well, I think I can remember going back when Sean Dyche, he was first in the job. I think people weren't too happy then, and there was a few shouts. Maybe he wasn't the right man. It wasn't going too well. But the next season they came back, like they stuck with Sean Dyche. They had a great season with Danny Ings doing really well, scoring a lot of goals. Unfortunately, they went up into the Premier League. They couldn't stay up, came straight back down. But they didn't worry about that. They said, OK, yeah, we've come back down, but we'll go again. Signed some good players and, again, had a great season last year. And that they've gone back up. So, yeah, again, one of my old clubs, I'd love to see them go up into the Premier League and stay up this time. That they've been up on the last two occasions, come straight back down. Hopefully it'll be third time lucky for them.
Yeah, do you think they can this time round? Well, a bit more money this time.
Yeah, I think that the problem they always had was they were trying to pay off the debts. I know I've not been up there for a while, but from what I hear, they've got the new training ground, the academy now. That's taken off. So, yeah, they've spent a lot of money because of that. Maybe this time, now they're in the Premier League with no debts, they're on a level playing field. They can spend money, sign good players. Bit strange losing Joey Barton. I thought that was a bit strange for him. He went there one season. You win a promotion, you're thinking, being back in the Premier League. I thought he would have stayed, but he decided to go to Rangers. So, yeah, they'll have to replace him because he did well from last season. Again, you always want that firepower. They lost Charlie Austin. They lost Danny Ings. Andre Gray come in, done well from last season. But, yeah, you'd like to see some more firepower come in. I'm sure they'll be looking for players. And yeah, like, of course they can stay up. It won't be easy. It'll be difficult, as they found it in previous experiences. But you only have to look at Bournemouth and Watford. People thought they might struggle. They stayed up comfortably. So it can be done. And hopefully, like I said, on the two occasions they went back up, they haven't managed to do it. Hopefully it will be different this time, and then they can try and consolidate in the next few years and become a really good Premier League side.
We're in the thick of the Euros, of course, at the moment. England against Wales tomorrow. Looking at your Twitter feed, you had quite a bit to say on Saturday night. What did you make of the England performance overall?
Well, I thought it wasn't too bad, really. I thought they did pretty well. There was just one negative, and that they didn't win the game. But we all know that they should have won two or three, didn't take the chances. And as we see so often in football, it was a late goal that killed them. But I think, yeah, from what I see, I've had plenty of tournaments in my lifetime watching England, and it hasn't been very good viewing. But the other night, I enjoyed it. I thought they had some plus points. And it's just whether now going into the Wales game, don't feel the pressure. It seems strange to say we seem under a bit of pressure because we didn't win that game. But I don't think that at all. I think the way the format is, maybe in previous tournaments with just two going through, like you're seeing the Slovakia result just there, then they'd be under real pressure. But no, don't panic. Just go and play your football. Let's face it, we have got far better players than Wales. We all know it doesn't always work out that way, and they'll have to guard against that because Wales have done well the last couple of years in qualification, had a good win against Slovakia. But let's face it, our players are playing at a far higher level than the Welsh boys. They've got quite a few people in the squad who we see in the Championship, don't we, season after season. And a couple of my boys from Reading, you've got Chris Gunter, Hal Robson-Kanu in the squad. Like, let's be honest, if they were English, if a lot of those Welsh boys were English, we could pick five or six teams and these boys wouldn't even be in it. So we have got the better players. In football, you've got to go on that pitch and you've got to show you're better. So you've got to be careful with the likes of Gareth Bale, Aaron Ramsey. They are the real quality players for Wales. But I'm hoping we do win, otherwise I am going to get a bit of stick.
Yeah. Do you have a soft spot for Northern Ireland as well, with going over to play for Glentoran?
Yeah, again, got a lot of friends over there from my time. It seems like a lifetime ago now, doesn't it? But yeah, I had a great time out there. They're great people, love their football. And yeah, it's something new for them since, what was it, 82, I think, the last time they were at a tournament. So yeah, they've done great in qualifying. Watching the game, I haven't seen too much of Northern Ireland, really, but watching the game the other day, they did look out of their depth a bit. And again, looking at the squad on paper, it doesn't look great, but they gave it a go against Poland, even though for large parts they were outclassed. It was still only 1-0. They've got to do better in the next couple of games, but I do think they'll find it difficult. I don't expect them to qualify, but you never know. We'll wait and see. But it's great for them to be out there, and I'm sure the fans are having a great time watching them.
Yeah, they are. One of the questions we had actually tweeted in from Adam Nuttall, he asked, did going to Ireland help your development, or would you prefer to stay in England? He also asked how much of what you had was coached to natural ability.
Yeah, no, well, it did help me, yeah. I think that the way football is now, all this academy, isn't it? It's far different than the time I grew up in football, but just being a young boy going out there, I think it, look, when you're young, all you do is from the age I played, like the under 9, under 10, all the way through, all you ever do is play against kids your own age, and you get to 18 and then all of a sudden you're playing against grown men, and it is difficult. So to go out to Ireland, it was the first real experience I played with where all of a sudden you're playing against grown men who have played 300-400 league games. They know what football's about. It was tough, especially in Ireland. I wasn't exactly popular among opposition players. Being an English boy out there, it was only Glen Torren fans who liked me. So, yeah, I did get a bit of stick. You got kicked about a bit, and it did toughen me up. And it definitely helped me going straight from Northern Ireland football and playing out there in competitive football, trying to win the league, trying to win cups, and then going straight then to Burnley as a young player to enable me to go straight into League One and play. And yes, the step up in quality was there, but in terms of just being able to play against grown men, it was probably better for me to do that than nowadays when young kids, they play academy football, go into grown-up football and drop down the leagues, and they find it tough.
And then, of course, you made the move from Glen Torren to Burnley in 96. Stan Ternent's arrival at Burnley was key around that time. The club going through a little bit of trouble, then there was a takeover, and from then on things really kicked on for yourself and the team, and some real good times in those years under Stan.
Oh, it was, yeah. It was strange, really. The first couple of seasons with Chris Waddle, we were battling relegation, and then Stan's first season again battling relegation. So it was tough. But again, sometimes that's good as a player. You can't have it all your own way. I think footballers will always say that it's easy to play in teams at the top. When you're with the best players, you're top of the league, you're winning games week in, week out, you're full of confidence. But trust me, but when you're down there, sometimes that's good for a player as well, where you know you've got to sort of have an 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 just to get a draw. And if you know you're losing, like we had a couple of big games there, those first couple of seasons, if we'd have lost, we'd have been relegated. So I think even that helps as well. But then it was nice to then turn it round and spend the season at the top and win a promotion with Burnley. And yeah, like great times there. It was a roller coaster with Stan, as people probably know. But yeah, I had a great time. It's sad to leave, but I needed to try and sign for a club who I felt could win promotion. Time was running out for me, the age I was. I'd sort of done all I could at Burnley, and luckily I got the chance to go to Reading, play with an ex-manager of mine, my favourite player growing up, Steve Coppell. And then within two seasons, we didn't just win promotion, but to win it record number of points. Great times at Reading and lots of good memories.
Yeah, Steve tweeted in as well, asking what was the best Stan Ternent story from your time at Burnley?
Oh, so many with Stan, yeah. Too many to mention. So much really went on. It was just with Stan, and ever since as well, I've never seen anything like it with Stan. At the time, like when you're a young lad coming in and you're making your way in the game, with Stan, I just presume that's what maybe all football managers were like. But having left and having had the career I've had and playing with other managers, you get to know that Stan, he was a one-off. But it was strange because, like I said, it wasn't all good times there. There was a right hook, I think, I got that I managed to block, and there was a Budweiser bottle got smashed over my head on the coach on the way home from Bournemouth after a 5-0 defeat. But I just thought with Stan that was all part and parcel of it. But yeah, like later on in my career, I actually thought, well, maybe that wasn't the norm, but that was just Stan. But yeah, just great times. And again, sad to leave in a way, because I'd have loved to have won promotion to the Premier League with Burnley. That's what I set out to do. But I ended up going to Reading. It happened for me with Reading. And again, had a great time at at Reading, and it was like great to be like at two good clubs like Burnley, Reading, and I had, had a great time at both.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned the Reading promotion as well. We'll just touch on that in a second. But actually, just quickly, I mean, understand at Burnley, a lot of big name players came in. Ian Wright came in and helped you guys get promotion.
Yeah, scored some really important goals, Wrighty. Yeah,
and Paul Gascoigne as well. When he came in, it was a different approach, but particularly obviously the Ian Wright one was very successful, and it almost worked in a strange way under Paul Gascoigne. But what was it like playing with both those players?
Well, Wrighty, yeah, I'd known Wrighty anyway. I grew up with Wrighty at Crystal Palace. He was the best player that we had, and he was just a great character. Just dominated the training ground. You always knew when Wrighty was about, and yeah, not always nice if you forgot his socks or his training kit in the morning. He'd come in as an apprentice. Yeah, he used to try and hide if you couldn't find any of his socks. So you knew Wrighty was about. So when he came to Burnley, I knew what sort of character he was. And yeah, at the time, we needed a bit of an injection. We were going well just to get us over the finish line. And Wrighty scored some important goals for us. Unfortunately, when we tried it with Gazza, again, we were going for the playoffs. We were like looking for promotion. When Gazza come in, we were hoping it would be the same again. He could give us that little bit extra to get us over the line. Unfortunately, it didn't go well, but it was just great to play with Gazza. He was the favourite. He was one of my favourite players growing up, and probably the greatest player we've had in my lifetime for an English player. So, yeah, it was great to know him. And, again, a real character. Unfortunately, football-wise, he couldn't do what we'd seen him do, like growing up over the years, especially in the 1990 World Cup tournament and the Euros in 96.
And, you know, you're talking about, you know, promotion, trying to achieve promotion with Burnley. You mentioned it, you went on to Reading and secured promotion there in what was, you know, a fantastic season, that record-breaking 106-point season. Just how was that for you, you know, as a team and for you as well, setting up 14, a very influential player. Just how was that season for you as a player and, you know, as a team and as a club like Reading?
Well, it's just incredible, really. I think because the season before we were in the playoffs the whole season and missed out right at the end. I think we only needed a point from the last three games. We lost all three. So you're thinking, well, we've blown it. And then we came back the next season. We had quite a few players leave. There was a bit of chopping and changing and never really signed anyone. The two biggest signings before pre-season was someone called Kevin Doyle and Shane Long, who were two boys, young boys from Cork. We were thinking, well, what are they going to do for us? How are they going to help us? Like, we didn't really know what was to come. And then I think before the season started, we paid £1 million for Leroy Leiter. Again, they'd scored goals for Bristol City, but that was in League One. So a bit of a gamble, a bit of an unknown. Started the season, Plymouth at home, you lose 2-1, you're thinking, oh, well, if we finish 12th or mid-table, you'd be happy. And then to go 33 games unbeaten, just once-in-a-lifetime season, and we couldn't believe it, like, to be honest with you. Like, it was just the way the unbeaten run was going. It wasn't so much the promotion. We were never thinking about promotion. It was the unbeaten run that just kept us going. We were thinking, oh, we've got to 10 games, and then it was 20. We got up to 30, then we were past Christmas, past the New Year, and we just went on that run, and it was just that, like, that's what was made us really proud. It was like, come on, let's keep this unbeaten run all the way to the end of the season. We knew we were breaking the records, and then in the end, we've just thought, look, if we stay unbeaten, promotion will take care of itself, and we ended up getting there. And last game, we needed to win for the record again. Never really thought too much of the record. It was only the last few weeks where we thought, oh yeah, Sunderland had 105. If we win the last two games, we can do it. And with 10 minutes to go, fitting really, we got a penalty, 1-1, and Graham Murty, who'd been there a long, long time, it'd been a great servant to Reading. He was our captain, hadn't scored all season, he took it and scored. So, yeah, great way to finish the season, and something we'll always be proud of. It. You always think records are meant to be broken, but it will go some for someone to break that record.
And of course, made 24 top flight appearances for Reading, and then moved on to Portsmouth, where you ended up playing in Europe as well. do you feel like you achieved everything you set out to in your career?
I think people would always say, players, you always would have loved to have done better. I never got a chance to play for England or anything like that. Watching tournaments now, you think, oh yeah, wouldn't that have been nice to maybe go to a World Cup, a European Championship? My dream was always to play for Manchester United growing up as a young boy. So again, never got to do that. So you'd always think, oh, I wish I could have done more. Injuries as well didn't really help me, and then when I finally waited so long, the one thing I always regret, I'd have loved to have got to the Premier League earlier. If I'd have got there at maybe 23, 24, then who knows, you see some players now, they have half a season and ended up going for 20-30 million pounds. So you always think, look, could that have been me? If I'd have gone somewhere 23, 24 years of age, who knows who I could have played for. Maybe I could have got a move to a top four club, and then along with that then comes your England chance. So yeah, maybe that would have been nice, but then I'm sure like there would be a lot of players out there would look and think, oh, I wish I'd had the career like I had. So yeah, it's part and parcel of football. You take what's given and you try and make the best of it, and I had a great time. I had, like I said, a lot of good years, played till I was quite old as well. So yeah, it's something you look back on, and you've always got those memories that you'll always have.
You mentioned England, and there was one tweet that we had from John Davis. Do you remember a pre-season friendly for Burnley against Chelsea in front of Sven? Where you was, impressed him, ripping John Harley.
I think he said I was the best player on the pitch, and I'll look out for him. And yeah, even though we were in the Championship, the way we started that season, there was a bit of it did sort of gather a bit of pace, that, because I started the season, I think I scored. I scored two against Bradford in a 3-2 win. We went to Birmingham. I scored two against Birmingham in a 3-2 win. And we were top of the league at the time. And it was mentioned then that I could be the surprise like package for the... that was 2002 World Cup, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think
in
it was,
Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were saying, oh, like, look out for Glenn, that we could be a surprise inclusion for the 2002 World Cup. But, yeah, I had someone called David Beckham in my way there, though, didn't I? So it would have been tough, but, yeah, you never know how true these rumours is, like, when you're reading the paper. But, yeah, there was a few times that Sven, he did give me some good mentions.
Yeah, he did indeed. Are you still playing now, or have you finished?
No, I was at Grays Athletic in the Ryman League last season. So, yeah, I still kept getting a few run-outs and come on the sub a couple of cameos. So, yeah, I haven't hung the World Cup and the Copa Mundials up just yet.
good. And a goal you scored a couple of years ago for Wealdstone.
That was it, yeah.
It went pretty viral on the internet. So you still got it, Glenn?
I don't usually do those sort of goals now as I got older. Yeah, I couldn't believe it myself. I think I was 38 then. And yeah, to get the ball just on the edge of my own box, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. But yeah, just, again, went to Wealdstone and had a great time. I was thinking about giving up that season because I'd finished at Wrexham and had a bad back towards the end of the season. So it was just as a favour, really. My brother knew someone at the club and just said, look, would you try and help them? They kept losing in the playoffs, and yeah, I think they thought I would help them in that respect, although I've had about four playoff appearances and lost every one, so I don't really know why they wanted to sign me for the playoffs. So when I spoke to the manager, I said, look, we better win the league because I'm no good in the playoffs, so that's what we went and done. So yeah, had one season at Wealdstone and won the league. Lovely club. Again, like you meet some great people in non-league. You don't sometimes realise the career I had. You don't realise how proud people are of their clubs and the supporters, and great bunch, and had a great time. That goal obviously capped it off, but more than anything, it was a top of the table clash against Dulwich, and we won 4-1, and I signed to try and help them win the league, and that's exactly what we done. So yeah, I had a great time.
And you mentioned Grays Athletic there. I'm right in thinking you had a bit of a coaching role there as well as playing?
I was assistant manager there, yeah. So, yeah, again, when I first signed for Grays, it was to help my friend out, Jody Brown. He got the manager's job and he said, look, you've won the league at Wealdstone. it's a chance for me now. Would you come and help me out? So, yeah, I went there because of him, really. So, yeah, again, lovely club. They've just been taken over by the Supporters Trust now, which is something I had at Wrexham. So, yeah, like, hopefully it goes well for them.
And, you know, assistant manager there, is the coaching managerial side of the game something you're looking, you know, to get into for the future?
Yeah, I think you always do, like, to see what comes up. It's hard to get out of football when I've had the career I've had. All I've ever known is football. I started off as an apprentice at Crystal Palace. I've had the career till now. It's always difficult to give it up, especially, like I said, I've still come on as sub, and you still enjoy it. You still get that buzz. You still come on. You want that ball, and you want to help try and, like, help the team win the game. You want to help set up goals and score goals. So, yeah, you'll never lose that. Even I've played in a few charity games already this summer again, and you love them. You come across other players who again have retired now and who you used to play against, and it's still competitive. You still love the game. So, yeah, it's something you always want to try and stay in it, but it's not always easy. You need people to give you the jobs and give you the chance, and as we know in football now, like, it's a bit of a risky business, isn't it? Because you take these jobs and a couple of bad months and you're out of a job. So it's a tough business. It's much better being a player, but the longer you stay in the game, it's always great to be involved.
Thanks, Samuel. Glenn, thank you very much for your time today. And hopefully catch up again soon.
Yeah. Thanks, boys.
Super stuff. That is the former Reading and Burnley midfielder. Super stuff. There we go. That is the former Reading and Burnley winger, Glenn Little. Some super stories there. Talking about Yap Stam as well. Right at the very start. Seemed a long time ago, the start of that interview. Fascinating stuff from Glenn Little. Next on the 72, we can talk transfers. We'll be right back.